increase, and our other interns will be leaving soon for their summer mission project, most in Africa. One couple in Asia and one couple in Europe. We'll be commissioning them beginning, I believe, next Sunday. Take your Bible tonight and find John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. You perhaps were looking for me to say, open to Judges, chapter 8. And we'll have to hold on that one until next week. Be back in Judges, God willing, next week. I want to do something pretty out of the ordinary for me in a message tonight. But feel impressed with the Spirit of God to go in this direction, and just as a sequel to the message this morning, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the power of the Word of God, the power of God's Word. The thing that I wanted us to hear this morning from 1 Kings chapter 17, as we thought about Elijah and the widow at Zarephath, was that he had a word from God. He had a word from God to go to the brook Cherith, the Cherith Ravine, and then he had a word to go to Zarephath, and he obeyed the word of the Lord. Now, this book is the Bible. This is the Word of God. I believe if you could take this book and turn this book into a person, you would have the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you could take Jesus and turn him into a book, you would have the Word of God. You would have the Bible, the Holy Bible. I base this on John chapter 1, verse 1, and other passages that are found in the Holy Scripture. But I want you to look in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. And in the fullness of time, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, took on flesh. We see this in verse 14. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what we have here is the Word of God in flesh. Now, there is power in the Word of God. And when Jesus spoke during the days of His earthly ministry, there was awesome power. And I want us to look at a few of those tonight. Some from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're going to have nimble fingers to do this. But I think it'll be an encouragement to you, as it was to me, as I just quickly scanned through the Gospels, finding some of these incidents in the life and ministry of Jesus that declare for us the power of the Word of God. Look in Matthew chapter 8. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now, these are only going to be representative accounts, not full accounts, just representative accounts. This is the account of Jesus healing a leper. And I want you to see the power of the Word of Jesus. When He came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Here's a leper looking to Jesus for cleansing. And notice verse 3 gives us Jesus' response. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," He said. "Be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. What was the means by which this leper was cured? It was the Word of God. The Word of Jesus, the Logos, God in the flesh. And what did Jesus say? Just two words. Be clean. There is power in the Word of God. Next, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Here we find Jesus healing a man who had a shriveled hand. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. Going on from that place, he, that's Jesus, went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Now here we see this ongoing opposition that Jesus faced throughout his public ministry from the religious leaders. Verse 11, he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then Jesus proceeded to do good. Notice what he did, verse 13. Then he said to the man, this is the man who has the shriveled hand, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Here's a man with a crippled hand and a good hand. And Jesus speaks four words to this man. Stretch out your hand. He asked the man to take the shriveled hand and stretch it out. He asked the man to do what it was physically impossible for him to do. And when he spoke the word, the power of the word spoken to this man with the shriveled hand resulted in his healing. Such is the power of the Word of God. Number next, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 31. Just turn a page or so. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. This is the account of the Apostle Peter walking on water. We know that people don't walk on water, but Peter did, at least for a brief period. Look in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against him, or against it. Now get the scene here. Jesus has dismissed the crowd. He had just fed 5,000. And he sends the apostles on ahead. He stays behind. They're out on the sea. The waves are beating against the boat. And look in verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, that's the last watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Well, that's a pretty normal response. You're out there in a dark night and the winds are howling and the waves are lashing against the boat and you look out and you see somebody walking in the water. Yeah, you'd probably think the same thing. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And when they heard his voice, look, notice what Peter did, verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said one word, "Come." Come. And then Matthew tells us, then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" He had a word from Jesus, "Come." He acted on the word that he had from Jesus. And he was able to walk on the water until he doubted the power of the Word of God. Now let's go to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Here we see another encounter that Jesus had on the Sea of Galilee with a storm. Here we find Jesus challenging the powers of nature. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Apparently this storm was far more violent than the one we read about in Matthew chapter 14. And Jesus is peacefully taking a nap in the storm. The disciples wake him up. They're alarmed. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Just three words, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It is the power of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word who became flesh, said, "Quiet, be still." And the waves calmed down and became smooth. And the wind went away. There is power in the Word of God. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. There are many accounts in the gospel records of Jesus casting out evil spirits, or what sometimes the Bible referred to as demons. They are one and the same, evil spirits and demons. They are fallen angels. Look in Luke 4, 31 through 35. Then he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, on the Sabbath day began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil or unclean spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Let me just say parenthetically, this next statement is not what this sermon's about, but I just can't resist the temptation to say that these demons have a more orthodox theology than some of these liberal theologians. They know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Some of these guys are still trying to make up their mind about who Jesus is. You've heard of the Jesus Seminar, where they have these little beads, you know, and I don't know the colors, I don't remember, but they decide if what's in the Bible is what Jesus really said or did. Well, they'd be better off to get their doctrine from some of these demons. They know who Jesus is, and they know their time is short, and they know their destiny is the lake of fire. So here's this man possessed by a demon, and this demon is speaking through the voice of this man at the top of his voice. Look in verse 35. Jesus speaks. "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Jesus spoke to the demon. Jesus commanded the demon to come out. There is power in the Word of God. Look in chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Here we find Jesus on an extraordinary fishing trip. Luke 5, beginning with verse 1 through verse 7. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He, Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Wouldn't you love to have been a part of that crowd just right there on the seaside? And Jesus he's sitting down on the boat teaching the people, and they're on the shoreline listening. Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. It is the power of the Word of God. Now put yourself in Simon's shoes here. He's been following Jesus just for a short time. And but he's also a fisherman. Fisherman by trade. And Jesus is now an itinerant preacher, teacher. But he was a carpenter before he was a preacher. And can you imagine what Simon was thinking? Okay, you're a good teacher. All these people come and you sit on the boat and they listen to you teach, but you don't know anything about fishing. You may know how to make furniture in your carpenter shop, but you don't know anything about fishing. But apparently Jesus did. Such is the power of the Word of God. Verse 4 again, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And they caught more fish than they'd ever caught before. It pays to listen to the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. Look in Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 11 through 14. Here we find the resurrection account. Jesus raises back to life a young boy who died. Look in verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now that's a sad scene, isn't it? Her husband is deceased. She has no other children. We don't know if this is the only child she had given birth to or she had had other children who had died. And now her only living son has died. She also had friends who cared about her. A large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Now, why don't you try that at a funeral home sometime? Well, there's a difference between my word and God's word. This is the Word of God. This is the power of the Word of God. And when Jesus said, "I say to you, get up," verse 15, the young man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. There is power in the Word of God. Look in John's Gospel now. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I want to give you a wide variety of different types of supernatural events that came as a result of the Word of God being spoken. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 through verse 8. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Such is the power of the Word of God. Jesus didn't say much. Just get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Let me give you one more. John chapter 11. 38 through 44. John 11 is the whole chapter, or most of the chapter, is the account of the death of Lazarus and Jesus' delay in coming to Bethany to be there to help the family, help Lazarus not to die. But Jesus had a plan in all of this, and he delayed, and Lazarus died. We're just going to pick up the narrative in verse 38. John 11:38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. This is the tomb of Lazarus. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of God. Jesus spoke 3 words, "Lazarus, come out." There is power in God's word. Not just in the words of Jesus. I don't want you to get the mistaken idea that the words of Jesus are more powerful than the rest of the words that are found in the pages of our Holy Scripture. All of this is the Word of God. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, "All Scripture is God-breathed. It is theopneustos. It is the breath of God that has produced this. And God used human penmen to pen these words. But it is the Word of God. And all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful, it is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, if you have a red-letter edition of the Bible, and probably most of you do, I have a red-letter edition of the Bible as well. Don't throw it away. It's the Bible. But let's don't have a two-step or a two-story understanding of interpretation that the words in red are more inspired than the words in black. It's all inspired. There is power in the Word of God. And so whether it is Jesus saying to a leper, "Be clean," or Jesus saying to a man with a shriveled hand, "Stretch out your hand," or Jesus speaking to Simon Peter on the lake of Galilee, "Come," or later Jesus speaking to the storm, "Quiet, be still," or Jesus speaking to a man possessed by a demon, "Be quiet, come out of him," or Jesus instructing Simon about how to catch fish when he said, "Put it into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Or Jesus encountering a funeral procession in the little village of Nain, a widow there whose son had just died, and he stopped that procession in its tracks and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Or whether it's Jesus there at Solomon's porch colonnade there in Jerusalem, where the people would gather when the waters would be stirred by an angel, and Jesus saying to an invalid who had been an invalid for 38 years, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Or Jesus saying to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." There's power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. When the prophet Malachi said, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and test me in this and see if I'll not throw open the windows of heaven and give you so much blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it all." There is power in the Word of God. That is the Word of God. The Word of God for the 4th century B.C. before Christ, the Word of God in the 21st century A.D. for Lakeview Baptist Church. Or Jesus in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is the Word of God. Or Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. There is power in the Word of God. We have a Word. Our God is not hiding. He has disclosed Himself. He's disclosed Himself in the pages of Holy Scripture, and He's disclosed Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ during the days of His incarnation. We have a sure word from God. We neglect the Word of God to our own peril. Let us hear it. Let us trust the Word that's given to us, and let us demonstrate our trust by obeying. Just like Elijah had a word from God and obeyed. And just like the poor widow in the little village of Zarephath who had a word from God through the man of God and obeyed. And when God's people hear God's word and believe God's word and obey God's word, then we begin to see the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, I thank You that You have revealed Yourself. We're not left perplexed. It's not just that we look in the creation and see, well, there's a beautiful creation, an intricate design in all of the created order. There must be a Creator. We do see that, but there's so much more. We thank You that we have this sure word, this testimony, given to us by holy men of old, prophets and apostles, and most surely through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, give us grace to trust the Word of God, not our circumstances, not what the financial gurus tell us we ought to do, not what we read in the money magazines. Give us grace to trust the Word of God. God, give us grace to release the resources that have been placed in our bank accounts, in our pocketbooks, the resources at our disposal that fund the Great Commission, to take the gospel to this city, to our nation, and to the ends of the earth. Find us faithful, O God. Thank You. Thank You for Your word. You are our hope, our joy, our peace. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We trust in You. We confess our faith that Your promises are trustworthy. And Lord, we long to see the kingdom of God established in our day. Now, Lord, bless this time of decision. Those who ought to respond, hear the voice of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look this way? We'll stand in a moment to sing.